Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Panelcast. I am your host, AJ, and with me, as always, is Anthony.
Yep, I'm back again.
So this week, there's not really much in the news section going on, but we're going to try and bullshit our way through it anyway. And I have also have been privileged to receive issue zero of Bloodworth from Danger Cat Studios, so I'll be reviewing that. All that and not much more here on episode 140 of the Panelcast.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time again for our news bit, so I'll send it on over to AJ to get things started.
I don't wanna.
Too bad. Start.
I don't wanna. I'm tired.
Tired.
It was 102 today.
Excuses.
There's no reason for it to be 102.
It's Southern California.
Ever. Anyway, so that wonderful movie that we're all excited to see this year, Star Wars Force Awakens, is going to offer special edition 3D glasses. Yay! Audience members attending a 3D showing of Star Wars The Force Awakens this December will have a chance to grab a pair of special edition 3D glasses. Real D debuted them on Twitter, touting that they are based on the characters BB-8, Captain Phasma, Kylo Ren, and in addition to a generic Stormtrooper design. Now, I'm taking a look at the glasses now, and to be honest with you, I mean, the Kylo Ren ones are awesome because they're black, but I'm down for a Stormtrooper one. It looks pretty cool. I mean, they do this kind of stuff every time every new big summer blockbuster movie comes out where they offer special edition 3D glasses, and to be honest with you, they're only really good for that film. I mean, I've never brought any of my special edition glasses to any other viewing that I went to go see. And after a couple months, I kind of just tossed the glasses. But, you know, it's Star Wars, we're all excited to see it, so who knows, maybe this one will live on my collectible shelf for some time.
It's another of those things to pick up, collect, say you got it.
But unfortunately, if you're like me and you wear glasses, none of these specialty glasses are designed to fit over your regular prescription glasses. So it's like, well, I can see the movie in 3D out of focus, or I can watch the movie blurry with my prescription glasses on. What do I do? So, yeah. And before we get too far along into the news segment, I just want to state that I'm other than, you know, the merchandise coming out and the toys and whatnot, I'm kind of done with the whole spoiler stuff. Not only just with, you know, The Force Awakens, Star Wars, but, you know, we got Captain America, we got Batman vs. Superman, and all these little tidbits and stories are coming out about it, and it's really killing my desire to see these films. Because I feel like by the time the film comes out, I'm going to know everything there is to know about it, and what's the point of seeing the film? It's getting kind of really redundant, just for me, anyway. That's just my personal opinion. But, yeah. Anthony, what do you got?
Well, sticking with movie news, I've got something that's interesting for old-school video gamers. 20th Century Fox is developing a movie based on the Mega Man series of games. Now, first Mega Man did hit in 1987. Since then, there have been about 130 games released in the Mega Man universe, so I'm sure by now you've seen at least one. But for those who don't know, in the mythology, the benevolent Dr. Light creates the android assistant, but finds himself betrayed by the evil Dr. Wily, who steals the designs in an effort to build a robot army for world domination. Dr. Light upgrades his android to take on Wily and his robotic minions. Dr. Light's android is Mega Man. So, franchise producer for the recent series of Planet of the Apes movies, Churnin Entertainment, is also taking part in this. And I'm hopeful, but I have no idea, because we don't know if it's going to be animated. We don't know if it's going to be a live action thing. There's just not much information about it yet, but it's Mega Man on the big screen. So I wonder if it's going to be entirely side-scrolling.
You know, we discussed that last week with the Castlevania. And having seen Astro Boy, I have some sort of hope and faith for this movie. However, again, video game movie, you know, can't really hold too much faith in it. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, we've got no release date. We've got no anything really to go on right now. We just know that it's actually something that looks like it's going to be moving forward. So that's pretty cool.
And further proof that Hollywood is running out of original ideas.
Oh, yes. So what else have you got, AJ?
With the second draft of the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel script now completed, filmmaker James Gunn seems to have the plot and characters of his sequel pretty much set. While the first film strikes a good balance between all the characters, there's an understandable concern that the sequel will include a bunch of new faces that would draw attention away from the main ones. Fear not, though, says Gunn, who revealed on Twitter, quote, "Not too many, that's for sure. I want all of our characters to get more personal time than they did in the first film," end quote. He was also asked about the chance of Hulk appearing in the film, discussion he essentially shut down, saying that Chris Pratt's Peter Quill would be the film's only human character. So who might be the few new additions? A strong female character seems likely, which has led to the suggestion that it is Moondragon, a key female character from Guardians of the Galaxy comics, and the daughter of Drax's... Ah! I can't say it. See, it's too hot for me to speak today. Daughter of Drax the Destroyer. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, slated for early release in 2017. It's kind of cool to hear that, but at the same time, I was kind of hoping that we'd see the Starjammers or the Brood or something going on. And with the, you know, alluding to where the Hulk disappeared at the end of Avengers 2, I was hoping we'd get, you know, World War Hulk at some point. Or at least, you know, if it's an after trailer, you know, what do they call them? I can't think.
I'm blanking.
They show up during trailers and or during the credit scenes, after credit scene. We'll go with that. That during the after credit scene, we could see the Hulk landing on, you know, Sakaar or something like that to lead toward that. But it looks like we'll have to hold our breath and wait. Anthony?
I'm going to shift it over towards TV news now. I don't know how many fans are out there for Under the Dome. I mean, it was a best-selling novel by Stephen King, and the story in and of itself is pretty interesting. But we're running through our third season right now, and CBS has decided that will be the last season.
Actually, I think it just finished up this week.
It did?
Yeah. Last week.
No, next week. End of the current third season is September 10th. So, looks like one more episode. You know, it started off strong. First season, average viewer count was around 11 million for episodes throughout the first season. But it's due to the fact that the material wasn't really designed for an ongoing series. They got a lot of criticism for, you know, making it an ongoing series, for dragging things out, for not just using it as a miniseries or anything like that. And this season, viewer rating has dropped to 4.2 million on average. It's basically in the toilet. So it's understandable why CBS is canceling it. The one upside is that the network has confirmed that we'll see the Dome come down before the finale. So there's some semblance of completing the circle on this one, at least.
The circle is now complete. But, I mean, the same goes true for his other TV show that just recently got canceled, Haven. It seems like all Stephen King properties are taking a dump lately, especially with the director of the film interpretation of It walking out of the set, or walking out before filming. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I love Stephen King. I grew up on the man. And my love for him has moved on to his son with Joe Hill. But his stuff is not made for TV or movies. You know, it's if you're going to make a TV show about Under the Dome, as big as the book was, I mean, it's got to be like a maxi series or something.
Yeah.
You know, something that can wrap up in two very short seasons.
I think 10, 12 episodes total probably would have hit it pretty well.
Right. I mean, and you know, I just don't know what to tell you. The Gunslinger, hopefully someday we'll get to see that, but if they try and cram all seven of those novels into one film, it's going to be shit. However, we can't see it on TV unless it's through HBO or Showtime because of just the violence and the material that's with it. So what are we going to do, you know?
Yeah, well, some things, some literature just doesn't translate to TV or film all that well. I mean, occasionally you can pick apart maybe one story and make a nice film out of it, or you can take something and make a nice miniseries out of it. But ongoing episodic television shows, some stuff just doesn't translate. And a lot of Stephen King stuff, you know, good as the material is, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
So, what have you got?
And I don't know how this happened, but somehow, well, I'll just say it like this. Post-production is well underway on Zack Snyder's Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice film. And now a new report says that though the studio is happy about the film, they have requested a change. Heroic Hollywood states that Zack Snyder and company have been asked to increase the amount of on-screen time we get with Batman in the film, as, quote, Ben Affleck's Batman is so good that he's blowing Henry Cavill's Superman right off the screen, end quote. Meanwhile, the film's villain, portrayed by Jesse Eisenberg, appeared on the Today Show last week and hyped up the project, saying, it's just the most incredible character. It was written by this guy, Chris Terrio. This is his next movie after Argo, who is just this brilliant writer of characters. So this movie is not a cartoonish superhero movie. It is very serious, well-acted, well-written, well-directed film, and it's really phenomenal. Finally, Aquaman himself, Jason Momoa, appeared at Fan Expo Canada recently and confirmed the film's dark tone. I can't see my busting out a bunch of jokes, he says. I don't think it will be like that. The jokes are cute and funny. There's a bunch of jokes about him, and it's like, let's wait. Let's just wait a little bit, and then we can make jokes. Referring to the fact that a lot of people make fun of Aquaman because he's kind of a useless character. But now with him portraying Aquaman, there's nothing to joke about. Again, all this stuff is coming out. I don't know why Ben Affleck is given more screen time. It hurts my brain to think that. But at the same time, it gives me a little hope in his portrayal of the character. However, if you notice what I said, Batman's screen time has increased, not Bruce Wayne's. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, I don't know what to take away from that. I don't know if that's... I mean, I'm a Batman fan. So I don't know if that's... But I just don't know. I don't know where to go with it. We'll see what happens. So that wraps us up for news this segment. We'll be back with you right after this break.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series, or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the panel cast.
Welcome back, everybody. So now we're going to be moving on to our review section. I know the show's gone kind of quick, huh? We're kind of cool about that. We like it. In this section, Anthony and I will be reviewing the newest book from Daniel Corey, Bloodworth. Anthony?
This is straight from the Danger Cat press release. It is the near future, and people can upload their memories as a form of social networking. When thought is commodity and secrets are deadly, it is up to FBI Special Agent Brenda Bloodworth to enter criminals' most private memories to solve the most difficult cases. This September, Danger Cat Creative Studio is proud to announce the digital release of a new comic that takes a look at a terrifyingly possible future. Bloodworth is a sci-fi thriller that turns a lens on the dangers of an information-starved society and signals the start of Danger Cat's world of future crime.
Bloodworth was written and created by Daniel Corey, who also did Moriarty, Red City, and Danger Cat's Prophet, with art by Chris Fanaglio. I know I tore that up and I apologize. who did the art on Red City, Orphan Black, and Weird Kids. Both creators had a specific vision for the world that Bloodworth inhabits. I've always been fascinated by mysteries, capers, and fantastic plans, and how I can twist and reinvent those genres, writer Corey said. In the future, law enforcement will have to step up their methods to keep up with an emerging class of tech crime. But in doing so, plenty of ethical boundaries are going to be crossed. Mind reading and thought control may be just around the corner. After a run on Image Comics' Red City together, Corey is happy to be working again with co-conspirator Finaglio. Quote, Chris is an amazing artist, and we're very happy that Comixology is being so good to us. Huge thanks to Chris Murphy and the rest of the Comixology crew. To our readers, we just want to say give Bloodworth a chance so we can bring you more. Bloodworth is the introduction to Danger Cat's future crime world, and we hope to bring you more sci-fi noir in the future. Bloodworth is a 17-page one-shot digital comic that will be available as a 99-cent download via Comixology this September 16th. End quote, or end press release. Now, Anthony and I both took some time to read these 17 pages, and what was your impression, Anthony?
I enjoyed it. It's an entirely plausible future to me. It's something that I see us steadily moving towards, and I like the take on it. So the story and the way the ideas are worked and linked together is really cool to me. The art style reminds me of something, but I can't for the life of me put my finger on what.
Red City?
I didn't read Red City.
Shh. We've read Red City. We loved it.
You read Red City. I'm honest. I haven't read Red City. I will pick it up and read it, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay. I too enjoyed the story. It's a zero issue. So the problems you would normally have with, say, a standard issue, you kind of have to ignore with a zero issue. Zero issues are intended to introduce the reader to the characters, the world, everything about the story you're about to delve into without actually getting too deep. This way, if you enjoy the zero issue, you're ready for issue number one and you're ready to, you know, stand by as you wait for issue number two and number three, the cliffhangers that may come, the story arcs and what have you. So for that, this is a really good zero issue because it begins a case, then it kind of wraps up a case at the same time. You're right with the art. It's very familiar. It's very colorful. And it's very, this is going to sound stupid, but it's a very smooth art style and well composed. And I really like it. I'm more used to Daniel Corey's work with Anthony D'Agostino. So this is a nice change for me. I've read a couple issues of Red City. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's just I got sidetracked by other things at the same time. But Daniel Corey is a friend to Forbidden Panel. You guys have heard him on the podcast many a times. We do our best to interview him whenever we get a chance or see him at a show. So he asked us to take a look at this. And I'm a fan of Dan Corey. I like all of his writing. So this is not a very far stretch for me to pick up and read. I like the ideas. I like the world he's created. I like what he's alluding to with the rest of the series, so I'm very curious as to what's going to happen from here on out. So, unless you have anything else you wanted to add, Anthony?
No, I just, it's just cool. I mean, for a zero issue, it's really cool. The introduction we get to everything, it's a nice taster of the world that is to come.
Right, it's like dipping your toe into what you're about to read into. So, yeah, you can find this digital download on Comixology by the end of the month. You can also go to Danger Cat's website. That's Danger Cat with a K and two T's, dangercat.com, and on Twitter at Danger Cat. For more information, you can, if you don't find anything you like there, hit us up. We'll probably have an interview with Dan here pretty soon. You can also find the book on iBookstore. So, yeah, with that was a quick review segment. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, and we'll be right back.
Guys, this is Daniel Corey. I'm the founder of Danger Cat Creative Studio, and I want to tell you real quick about my upcoming comic, Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It's about Professor Moriarty, the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. I'm working with artist Anthony Diachidua on it, letterer Dave Lampier. Please go to dangercat.com and check it out. That's DangerCat.com. And please go over to Kickstarter.com. We're running a campaign right now to try to raise funds for the production of the book. So, you know, shoot us an email, let us know how you like it, and we'll see you on the web.
Welcome back, everybody. It's that sad time again. It is the end of episode 140 of the panel cast. We've given you news, we hit you with reviews, and it is time for us to say goodbye. But before we do that, AJ's got a little something for you.
No.
No?
Just kidding. I like to keep Anthony on the edge of his toes and questioning his sanity. So, sometimes I just mess with them a little bit too much.
Hasn't been in question for many, many years.
This past Monday, saw what we hope to be somewhat monumental event for us. One of our artists, Robert Lampier, opened up his own comic book store up in the high desert of Victorville, California. Now, I know what you're saying, Victorville, ooh, it's hot, but yeah. Robert has been kind enough to give us a section of the store so that we can put up all of our comics, all of our merchandise, and whatnot. So because of that, QBC Toys and More has now become the official home of Forbidden Panel merchandise. So anything that you would want from us, t-shirts, comic books, patches, prints, stickers, Anthony, all that stuff can be found up at QBC Toys and More up in the high desert. So if you get a chance... head over to Facebook, look them up, and head over to the store, most importantly. Because you're going to want to keep an eye out, because we're going to be doing a lot of events there. We're going to start doing our Create a Day events there. We're going to start doing signings there. We're going to have all kinds of crazy stuff happening there, to the point of where Robert's going to really regret the decision to have us be a part of his company. So, yeah, QBC Toys and More. Anthony?
So, that was a shameless plug. But we still want you to go check everything out up there. Make your way out to Victorville. And until then, be sure to hit us up at the Forbidden Panel website, forbiddenpanel.com. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Listen to the podcast. Pull it from the iTunes store. We are everywhere, and we love the love. So come back to us.
Also, stay tuned, because this month, we have a special artist spotlight coming at you. Not going to tell you who the guest is just yet.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Nope.
So, for AJ and me, because, you know, this is me talking, thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Panelcast.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.